Let's turn back to the book of Luke chapter 2, the childhood of Jesus, Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. This is a very beautiful verse talking about Jesus Christ. He said he grew not only in stature, but also in wisdom and the grace. And you can also refer to verse 52. Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and the favor in favor of God and man. Oh. He said increase in wisdom and stature. Oh. Stature means what? Physical. Oh. Physical, Jesus grew. Oh. When he reached to the age of 12, it's almost the beginning of teenager. So physically you start to change. From a children to become a youth. So it's good in stature. But far more precious is he grew in wisdom. The wisdom here is not talking about the wisdom of the world. It's talking about the spiritual wisdom. So he was in 12 years old. He grew in wisdom. Because he grew in wisdom, so he can understand God's will better than anyone else. That we're referring to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, but do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You mentioned that we need to have wisdom so that we can be filled with the knowledge of his will. So the increase of wisdom, we can understand God's will far more, far better than others. Because we understand God's will more, so we can live a life worthy of the Lord and fully please him and be fruitful in every good work and increase the knowledge of God. That is a result of the spiritual wisdom. So he was 12 years old, spiritually he has a lot of wisdom to understand God's will. So today it is very important, as a young person, you are facing a lot of different decisions. What school I'm going to study, right? And what kind of friend I'm going to make. After the study, where do I have to, I want to work? And what kind of job I want to take? And later on, what kind of person I'm going to get married? What kind of family life I'm going to build up? So in your age, gradually you are going to face a lot of important decisions. And what kind of decision is the best decision? The best decision is a decision based on God's will. You will never regret if you can understand God's will and walk upon God's will. And how do you know God's will? The spiritual wisdom. So when Jesus was 12 years old, he was filled with spiritual wisdom. He knew God's will. And he walked according to God's will. So no wonder he found favor with God. If anyone found favor with God, this one would be favored by men. Have you ever seen anybody in the church and God loved him or her very much and nobody liked him? have ever met this kind of person? No, no. You can never find this kind of person.
Oh.
Because the relationship between God actually can be reflected in the relationship between men.
Oh.
Do you have a good relationship with God? Let us look. Do you have good relationship with men?
Oh.
If you don't have good relationship with other men, your relationship with God definitely is no good. How can we be so sure? Because if you want to have a good relationship with God, you must understand His will and abide in His will. And what is the will of God? The will of God is to love others, to practice the teaching of the Bible. If you really love others, to practice the teaching of the Bible, to forgive others, and not selfish, always think about others, then your relationship with others will be good. So, how close we are with God, maybe it's very difficult for you to understand because God is very abstract. Then the reflection is your interpersonal relationship with the people surrounding you. So Jesus Christ, when he was 12 years old, he find favor with God, and he also find favor with men. Both God and men like him. So it's absolutely impossible. Only God loves you in the church. Nobody loves you. It's impossible. If you feel that only God loves you, nobody loves you, then you are leading God astray. If God loves you, everybody will love you. But the reverse may not be true. If everybody loves you, so God loves you, may not be true. So Jesus Christ, 12 years old, he was quite mature. And verse 40 say, the grace of God was upon him. The grace of God was upon him. This is a very beautiful verse. So in the second, Peter say, we have to grow in the knowledge and in the grace. Shall we turn to second Peter? Chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's the encouragement of Peter to the Christian in that generation. You have to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. And exactly, you see Luke chapter 2, Jesus Christ sit before the teachers and ask, listen and ask. So he grow in the knowledge, in the wisdom. And he found favor with God. So the grace of God was upon them. So he grow in the grace. So this should go hand by hand. Cannot emphasize one side and neglect the other side. If you only emphasize on grace, and neglect the words of God, the wisdom of God, sometimes you will go astray. Go astray and you don't know. As what you know, the bullet boy in the dining area, there's a post, I later come from Taiwan GA, but it was written in Chinese. It was a group of people separated from themselves from the church and to hold service by themselves and did not join the church. About 20, 30 people. They were very fervent. They were very fervent. Last week they visited two of family in Elizabeth Church, and two family joined with them. They started service from 5 or 6 a.m. And then last until the evening 11 or 12 p.m. I talked with one of them. He say, prayer with, when you pray, you have to ring the bell. It's not biblical. Can you find the Bible say when you pray 15 minutes, you have to ring the bell? Oh. So then I asked him, then how should we control the time? He said, no need. Jesus controls the time. So when they pray, sometimes it's 30 minutes, sometimes it's 1 hour. Oh. Because they are very fervent. They are very fervent. So they are pursuing the grace of God. They are pursuing some kind of experience of God. But the fundamental question is the direction you are pursuing is right? So I ask the brother, okay, you try to detach yourself from the church, and you consider yourself as more spiritual. Can you find any verse in the Bible to support what you are doing right now? You keep on silent for a few minutes. You cannot find any answer. No. Did any verse in the Bible teach you you have to despise all the Christians? You are not zealous. You are not loving God enough. You are not spiritual enough. Only I, very spiritual, and only I love God. So I want to detach myself from you and pursue spiritual advance towards God. Can you find any verse to support whatever you do? No, you can never find any verse. The only verse I can quote to him is the prayer of Pharisees and the tax collector in the temple. That's the only verse, right? How the tax collector pray? The tax collector pray, no, I have sinned, so I dare not to see you. Beat his own chest. And I'm unworthy of you. And the Pharisees pray, Lord, I'm not like that person. I fast twice a day. I offer the tithe. I never come here to ask you. So I am better. So I'm not like him. Separate. So I tell this brother, the only thing I can think about is the prayer of tax collector and Pharisees. So if we emphasize only pursuing the grace of God and you neglect pursuing the knowledge and the wisdom, sometimes you go astray. You are led by Satan and you don't know. So it should be go hand by hand. Any spiritual experience must be examined by the words of God. Any spiritual experience without the foundation of the words of God, then you have to be very cautious. So the spiritual experience should go in accordance with the words of God. Especially nowadays, in this world, a lot of Christian emphasize on charismatic movement or third wave. They're pursuing the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, they will fall down on the ground, unconscious. Wow, they were very excited. The Holy Spirit is so powerful. When Spirit comes, unconscious. There was a pastor in Toronto, Canada, very powerful. When he lay hand on you, you keep on laughing 2 hours. Never stop. Do you like it? So you're laughing and cannot stop. You ask the Lord, please help me. Enough is enough, but you cannot stop. But if you also, if you open the Bible, look into the whole Bible. The only one time a person filled by Spirit and fall down on the ground is the time when Jesus cast out the demon. And the people roll down on the ground, unconscious, and the demon went out. That is the only place in the Bible you can find. Other than that, you can never find it. So the words of God is very important. It will serve a criteria you judge whether you have gone astray or you are on the right track. One day, I talked with a Christian of other denomination. He talked to me and he said, he also received Holy Spirit. And talking about how to receive the Holy Spirit, all these kind of experience. I really cannot see what's wrong with the Spirit he received. Until he told me, when he received the Holy Spirit, he saw the vision. What kind of vision? He saw that kind of, airplane, a jet flyer, a fighter jet, flying in the sky and fighting each other. I say, how come? You can never find anything from the Bible like this. So, without the backup of the teaching of the Bible, that kind of spiritual experience, you have to be very cautious. But on the other hand, If you neglect to pursue the grace of God and spiritual experience, you only pursue the wisdom and knowledge, that's very dangerous. That's very dangerous. Later on, you will gradually go astray to become Pharisees. The Pharisees had a lot of knowledge inside, but no experience. Their face is dead. No life inside. They don't never touch that living God. They don't have that kind of experience. So if you talk to the people in Christianity, some people emphasize on experience, some people emphasize on the words of God. And they ask you, through Jesus Church, which side do you belong to? I think we use a balanced way. So Jesus, when he was 12 years old, the grace of God was upon him. And he was filled with the wisdom and the words of God, both go hand by hand. In chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And become strong in spirit. And this is also a very important verse. Jesus Christ was strong in spirit. Now, strong in spirit means what? Inner man was very strong. Even in the United States, your outer man are very strong. Good nutrition, good exercise. How about the inner man? Strong in spirit. If you are strong in spirit, then it's very easy for you to practice the words of God. It's very easy for you to sacrifice to serve God, because you are strong in spirit. You see, Paul tried to choose Mark and to follow him and to succeed in his ministry. Mark, do you know who was the mother of Mark? Hey, so from Thursday we are going to study the book of Acts, another homework. Study the Acts chapter 1 to 28 thoroughly. So I'm going to ask a lot of questions so you can understand deeper. Who was the mother of Mark? Mary, yes. And Mark followed Paul. But when Mark encountered difficulty, suffering, and Mark just abandoned and left. Maybe he was strong physically, but he was weak in spirit. But on the later on, God chose Timothy. Was Timothy strong physically? Was Timothy strong physically? Yes or no? How do you know? Timothy is strong physically or weak? Weak, we don't know. Yes, you are honest. We don't know. But one thing you can get some kind of hint. Paul say your stomach has problem, so you don't drink too much water, a little bit wine. Once a person's stomach is not good, maybe not cannot be very strong. Because all your nutrition comes from his stomach. But even Timothy probably not very strong physically, but Timothy was very strong in spirit. No matter where Paul went, he followed. And somewhere Paul cannot go, he sent Timothy and Timothy go. It's not easy. It's not easy. Because if you look into the book of Acts, we are going to study later on. Paul went here, somebody chastised, used a club, chastised Paul. And went to another one city, somebody used a stone, keep on throwing at Paul. One time he was strong and evil, even fall into unconscious. Some people thought he was dying and dragged him out of the city. And Paul stood up and continued his journey to preach the gospel. He was strong in spirit, and Timothy was strong in spirit too. And Jesus was strong in spirit too. How about you? Are you strong in spirit? Right. It's very important. If you are strong in spirit, to serve God is a joy. To serve God you will feel your life is very meaningful. In the inner part of your heart, anything connected to Jesus Christ, you will consider that very meaningful. Then you are very strong in spirit. Oh. So if you are strong in spirit, you will never do the eye service. What does that mean, eye service? When somebody look at me, let me vacuum the floor. Wow, let me do this because somebody is looking. Oh. When nobody looking, I'm not going to do it. Oh. And that eye service is not strong in spirit. Oh. Strong in spirit, you serve regardless when people look at you or not. You still want to serve. And Jesus Christ is the one. So in his childhood, we can learn a lot of good lessons. He found favor with God and man. He progressed in the grace of God and the knowledge of God. And then he was not only grow in status, he also grow in power, in strength, spiritual power, strong. And when he has different opinion with his parents, he obeyed them, even though he was right. Sometimes your parents ask you to do something. If your parent is wrong, and he just argue and just talk back, you will follow the pattern of Jesus Christ. That is not the right way. Jesus tempted by Satan. Before Jesus started his ministry, talking about Jesus' service from the age of 30 to 33. Before Jesus' service, he has gone through some kind of test, examination. And this test is a very strict test. The temptation from Satan. Where does the Bible talk about Jesus facing temptation? Chapter 4, right? Okay. What did Satan tempted Jesus? What did Satan tempted Jesus? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life. How do you know? First, Satan approached Jesus, right? What is the first temptation? Change the stone into the bread. This consider as the lust of the flesh. The second, what is the second temptation? The world, right? The world. You look the beautiful world. You worship me, I'm going to give it to you. What about the third one? You jump down from the temple and God is going to protect you. There are three different kind of temptation. And if you sum up these three, then the Bible calls these three temptations as the world, according to 1 John chapter 2. Let's refer to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Verse 16. For all this is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Verse 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The world referring to three things, and it's going to pass away. And he who abides in God's will abide forever. Abide in God's will means defeat the temptation. So somebody will ask a question. If God is a merciful God, how come God created a tree of... What kind of tree? A tree of... knowledge in the Garden of Eden. Why? This is an interesting question. In the book of John, Jesus commanded his disciple, you don't belong to the world, but you should not leave the world. You should not depart from the world. You have to live inside the world. This is the mentality of the Christian. You see the churches, right? All the churches almost built in the city. But almost all the temple, the Buddhist temple, right? Most of them built in the mountain, right? There's a difference. And this difference try to show the difference between Christianity and the Buddhism. The Buddhism, they try to emphasize the world is evil. So the best way, if you want to improve yourself, withdraw yourself into the mountain, into the temple, right? And the Jesus' command is no, even the world is evil. You have to live inside the world to shine the light, to change the world, to transform the world. So there's two different ways. So even this world has a lot of temptation. Jesus never asked you to withdraw yourself. You open the Bible, you open the newspaper, right? And this side talking about something new. That side talking about something dirty, something no good. You live in this kind of world, but you have to overcome all this kind of evil so you can survive. Jesus never asked you, you look into the newspaper, take away this part, take away that part. So a newspaper everywhere is a hole, because all the hole is something deep, something no good. You have to face the temptation and win over the temptation from the world. And that is what's so difficult for us. I remember a few years ago in the mountain region in Taiwan, everybody praised the members in mountain region. They have a very good face. A lot of people been moved after they visited them. But the reality is, the truth is, really, they are very fervent. You just feel that the kingdom of God was there. You can see the power of God there, the joy and the love there. But in that mountain, top of the mountain, they don't have so much temptation of the world. So when they remain on the mountain area, their faith is excellent, A+. But when the young people move down to the city, to the southern, and usually you start to feel they changed. First, the way they dress themselves changed. The second, the haircut changed. The third, the makeup they wear changed. And the fourth, the way they talk changed. And a lot of them, they don't collapse in their faith. So nowadays, we're facing this temptation every day. Why we have to do this? According to the teaching of Jesus Christ, you have to prove you have the power of God, just like Jesus. You can win over the world so that you can save the people out of the world. If you cannot prove you win over the world, how can you save the people out of the world? How can you bear testimony for Him? So the temptation of Jesus Christ, it serves a very meaningful example of us to follow. And three kind of temptation. The lust of the flesh. Paul encouraged Timothy, you have to shine the useful passion. Useful passion. If you see a boy and a girl about 5 years old and holding the hand, walking together in the park, you look very cute, right? But if you look at the two of you, 17 and 18, holding in the hand and walking in the path, anybody say very cute? Nobody says so. Both are male and female. But when the age changes, your feeling is different. Why? Because when they are in the 5 or 6 years old, they're really pure. But when you reach to the teenager, naturally, because of your physical development, you have that kind of passion, you have that kind of desire to the opposite sex. It is nature. If you don't have that kind of desire, it's abnormal. You cannot get married. Okay. But the question is, how do we tame that kind of desire? Just like Paul said, and shine the useful passion. That is the lesson we have to learn. So the lust of the flesh, any desire you want to satisfy, which already go beyond to the truth, they call lust. If you want, you're hungry, you want to eat, that is okay. But if you want to worship the food, worshiping the idol, that's called lust. They already go beyond the truth. If you want to fulfill your stomach, that's okay. But you eat too much. Even the Bible says, what is the term of Bible, the Bible? Gluttony, right? Eating without self-control. I think that's no good. Some kind of lust of the flesh. So sometimes you go to the all you can eat. I pay $5, I must eat the food more than $5. So I will never lose the money. And you keep on eating and go back home with a stomach ache. That's not the teaching of the Bible. That's not the teaching of the Bible. So the flesh, and the lust of the flesh. So before you get married, you have fornication. Before you get married, you have a cohabitation, living together. That's the lust of the flesh. So any youth before getting married should not live together. Even though you are so confident, I can control, I can prove myself, I can control my lust. So I live together with another female. Nothing is going to happen. But you are walking in the fire. Very difficult, very dangerous. The lust of the flesh. So the Paul's encouragement is you have to keep a distance. The best way is to keep a distance. Cohabitation fornication is absolutely forbidden. But even you like somebody, or before you get married, what is the line you have to draw? You can be intimate, but how intimate is allowed by the Bible? What is the line you have to draw? I think the line is, if your desire arouses to a point you cannot righteously satisfy your desire, then it's considered a lust. So the lust of the flesh. This is the first temptation. So when a youth in the church, very fervent or have been baptized in the church, all of a sudden disappear from the church. I'm not saying most of them has something to do with the lust of the flesh. The second one is the lust of the eyes. If you want to see something beautiful, it's nature. We are not saying you see something beautiful, it's the lust. God created the flower. God is a very creative God, you know. After I moved to the East Coast, I found out the East Coast is very beautiful. During the autumn, September, October, you look into the outside, they have the yellow, they have the red, they have the blue, they have the dark, different color. The winter is beautiful too. Four seasons changing. So God created everybody, your face is different. If God created everybody the same, just like a map in Intel, how do you feel? The life is too boring. So God is very creative. You want to see something very beautiful, it's nature. But if whatever you want to see is go beyond the truth, then it's lust. You subscribe to premium cable TV. What is inside? Some of the youth, one time the teacher make an animal's survey. Talking, what did you do during your labor time? The youth confessed without name. They, when my father was away, I look into the adult movie because the family, they subscribe the premium cable TV. They look into the adult movie, the use of the last, the last of the eyes. There was one RE teacher told me, have you seen the Titanic? Have you seen the Titanic? Somebody shake the head. I know some of you have seen the Titanic. Which scene in the Titanic attract you the most? One of the youth privately confessed to the RE teacher. And the IE teacher privately told me, and I privately told you. The sin remember him, her the most is when the movie star holding together naked. I don't know. I never saw that. What happened? And so romantic, so beautiful. So while she was sleeping, that kind of scene keep on passing in front of her heart. So this is the lust of the eyes. If all the movie, you cut off that kind of sexual scenes, what kind of movie it will be? It's boring to them. You will never see that. If the movie cut off all the violence, nobody want to watch that. So sometimes the movie has very wonderful themes. They're very meaningful. Very, very meaningful. But that kind of movie always lose money. So nobody wants to shoot that kind of movie. They try to shoot the money which can let you get excited physically or sexually. The lust of the eyes. And the pride of the life. Pride of the life. What does that mean, the pride of life? If you see the book of Isaiah chapter 8 or chapter 6. In two verses, Satan talking about six times of I. I want to elevate to heaven. I want to be like God. I want this. I want that. So people try to emphasize on I because they want other people to know me. That is the beginning of the pride of this life. So when a person is humble, the person seldom mention about I. It's not important, I. It's far more important than God. What is God's will? What is God's glory? What is God's point of view? It's not I. So the pride of the life. And can you think about the temptation of pride of life? Can you think about? One day I visited a church. One of the board members told me, he was touched very much by a member. I said, what happened? He said, this member graduated from very prestigious university, a very good credential. And this member moved to that church 4 years. 4 years. He never mentioned about he had a PhD degree. He never mentioned about his own expertise. In which area? So this member later on unintentionally discovered about this fact. He was very touched. So this is one of, let us know what is the pride of life. When you talk with somebody in the world, right after talking, a few minutes later, there's a business card already show up that you know what kind of title, the manager, consultant, or this and that. You turn back to the other side. Formally, which company, a lot of title. They try to impress you. This is a gold business card. But when you come to the Bible, that's useless. This is the pride of the life. Even the education of the children. Education is supposed to change a person's character and something like that. But nowadays, some of the parents, they use the children's education become a way to show off themselves. That's not biblical. So the temptation of the world, Satan Jesus overcome the temptation of the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of the life. How can Jesus overcome the temptation? How? Chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was filled by the Holy Spirit. And he fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. So after he was filled by the Holy Spirit, he was tempted by Satan, and he overcame the temptation of Satan. So this is a gift as a key answer. How can you overcome the temptation? You have to be filled by the Holy Spirit. One day, one of the youth in Germany, they try to go to the campus to have their class, to have his class. They pass him through the park. As you know, the Germany are very open-minded. During the springtime, a lot of people just sunbathe, take off everything naked. And this youth say, when he was filled by the Holy Spirit, he passing by the park, he feel nothing. Really, this is a very good personal experience. If you are filled by the Holy Spirit, the power of God will substitute your evil desire, your sinful desire. That your heart was wrong, very pure. So you cannot control your mind. Nowadays, people's mind always is filled with something dirty, filthy. How can you keep your mind pure? There's no other way. You have to be filled by the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God will cleanse your mind, and your mind will be pure, and God will dwell inside your mind. So the answer to overcome the temptation is to filled by the Holy Spirit. Pray. But also there are some other ways. How can you shine the youthful passion? Do more exercise. If you have time left after you study, go to run for a few miles. When you come back home, you collapse, tired, and there is no youthful passion. Take a cold shower. All of this are the same thing. Or forbid yourself from reading some kind of bad thing. Yeah. Yes. 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 He was filled by the Holy Spirit. At the same time, he used the words of God to defeat the Satan. If we are not filled by the Holy Spirit, even though in your mind you have the words of God, you still cannot overcome it. Let's pray in silence.